Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka made headlines earlier this month when she skipped a press conference during the French Open. Osaka said press conferences exacerbated her mental health struggles and then withdrew from the tournament. There's a history of athletes expressing frustration with the press. Sometimes they just find requirements to talk to the media annoying. Take Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch back in the day. We'll let him speak for himself.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined.
We're talking about the sometimes contentious relationship between pro athletes and the journalists who cover them, with a sports journalist who says her profession could do better. Nicole Kraft is an associate professor of clinical communication and director of the Sports and Society Initiative at The Ohio State University. She's author of the book, Always Get the Name of the Dog, A Guide to Media Interviewing. Nicole, welcome to Central Time.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Well, as we heard there from Marshawn Lynch, athletes not always keen to talk to the media. And you wrote in a recent piece on the conversation, you don't necessarily blame those athletes. What do you want to see better from those sports interviewers?
You know, I think we have many challenges that confront us with the environment of a press conference. You know, there used to be a much more intimate relationship between the media and sports personalities, a lot of one-on-one time. You were able to kind of build up a rapport with someone before you were going to ask them difficult questions after a significant loss or, you know, a challenging performance. And now with the way that media is structured, the quantity of media that teams are dealing with, the press conference has become a primary pathway for people to get the information that they need, which means there is no relationship built. There's just kind of this feeling that athletes are in a lot of ways being attacked, that they are being asked questions that have little context for them, or the massaging that might come from a more personal relationship. So I think what we're faced with are, you know, athletes that don't fully appreciate what media are trying to do in terms of getting information for the public. And we're faced with media who are under incredible time constraints because of the 24-hour news cycle. Many of them are not necessarily trained or coming up through what we would consider to be mainstream journalistic channels that would maybe prepare them to ask questions that are more insightful or elicit a more reasonable response or a response that was more useful to them. And so I think it's caused a great deal of friction between interviewer and interviewee.
There's this weird symbiotic relationship, right? I mean, pro sports get tons and tons of free publicity from the media. The media makes a lot of money by talking about sports. I don't. Why can't we have a more productive, interesting relationship when you bring the two of them together in that conference room?
There's not a great deal of incentive in some ways. You know, media used to be the only pathway for athletes and teams to communicate with their fan base. Now, of course, many teams have their own in-house media and trained journalists that work for the teams themselves. You have a multitude of platforms where athletes, social media being the most obvious, that athletes can communicate with their own fans. So, you know, what you're faced with is a growing media enterprise where you have, you know, bloggers and podcasters and people who are being credentialed that fill a media room that don't necessarily have the background or the experience or the training to be asking questions that are really insightful or elicit an insightful response. We get a lot of, you know, yes or no questions, so closed-ended questions that don't enable someone to really provide good context. We also get the talk about question, which is, you know, requiring the source to do all the work and not necessarily requiring the interviewer to have any great deal of background when they ask the question. So that combination of factors, I think, has caused a lot of animus between athletes and the media that cover them. And I think athletes are seeing, you know, how is this benefiting me? It's not like I need this pathway in order to have people pay attention to what I do. And if I'm going to feel put upon or feel like I'm not being treated with the level of respect that I deserve, why do I need to do this at all?
Let's bring out a caller now. We've got Charlie with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, growing up, I can remember that there were sports writers who were a little more literary than we see today, guys like Frank DeFord, Plimpton, or even Bud Lee here in at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I was just wondering if you think that part of the decline in the sports interview is due to the fact that the people conducting the interview, the journalists, don't have the literary chops that old-time people did, such that a contentious question is easier to write about than maybe a more insightful question.
Interesting, Charlie. What do you think, Nicole?
I totally see your points. You know, I'm a huge fan of John Hervey, huge fan of Frank DeFore's. And I think, you know, people read long form material then. So there was a lot of opportunity to ask questions in what we would consider to be the bell curve, which I actually talk about in my book, where you build up to questions that you build a rapport, and then you get your questions, and you don't really start to hit your peak of maybe some controversial questions till you're maybe, you know, two thirds of the way over the bell curve. And what that allowed was relationship building. You allowed people to have a level of trust with the reporter that they were working with. You allowed deeper insights, the ability for a sports personality to say, you know, let me tell you this, and then we'll figure out the best way for it to be published. We don't necessarily have that relationship building. And I agree with you that we're not developing writers to craft stories anymore. And a lot of that has to do with the need to get things out on social right away, the need to put things up on websites, you know, within seconds of them happening. We're not cultivating even a week's worth of content as we did when Sports Illustrated was in its heyday. So that does not allow for, you know, real discerning writing and in-depth reporting that would normally generate stories that you're describing from the authors that you're describing. So there's still many qualified writers out there, and many, you know, I work with many, many talented writers and good friends of mine at The Athletic who do get some long-form opportunity. But when you're on that daily grind and you're trying to, you know, either fill a news hole or fill web space or put stuff out on social, there's just a kind of a surgical strike to it that doesn't allow for the nuanced reporting that we used to see.
Thanks for that call, Charlie. Nicole, one thing that wasn't there in the old days is a lot of channels where players can go directly to the public themselves. Social media, the Players Tribune, where players write things. That there's been some really interesting stuff there. How much does that change things and maybe make those reporters in those press conferences less relevant?
Oh, I think it's changed things dramatically. I mean, if I never used to have, you know, as a fan, I never had access to what players were thinking or feeling, their experiences. And I think the channels that you just described, you know, the Players Tribune is a terrific resource and very well, you know, it's beautifully written, and we get some amazing stories out of that we're not going to entrust to reporters to a great degree. And the same thing with social. I mean, even you mentioned Naomi Osaka in the introduction. When she mentioned and said that she was not going to be doing press conferences, she didn't release that through the media. She didn't release it through the tournament. She released that herself on her Twitter account. So, you know, being able to communicate directly with the fans and shape your own message has allowed sports personalities to say that this relationship with the media is not one that they need to cultivate.
Nicole, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That's Nicole Kraft from The Ohio State University, author of the book Always Get the Name of the Dog, A Guide to Media Interviewing. Probably have to have her back to talk about that. I could learn a thing or two. She joined us today, though, to look at ways to make post-game sports interviews more interesting.